It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Well, welcome, everybody. It's exciting to be here with you. This is week number two of our new radio show, Get Real. I'm your host, Mike Murphy. This week's going to be a little different. I said we're going to do it live every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I had already scheduled a golf tournament. I'm up here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho today. And I'm pre-recording this at 8 a.m. We have a great guest at the bottom of the hour, Jerry Powell of Rhythmia. We'll get into that in a little bit. So it's going to be a little different this week, but we still want your participation. Always email me with questions, show ideas, or things like that at mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. We got a heavy-duty topic today, and I'm also going to do, instead of a bunch of news stories, I'm going to do a deep dive onto a subject today. Pretty happy with last week's shows. If you like it, if you saw it, share it. If you're just joining us for the first time and you want to know who I am, why I do this, and what it's all about, you can always look at episode number one where I explain that. That's archived at Mike Murphy Unfiltered, a YouTube channel. I'll tell you one thing that's really surreal. I'm up here in Harrison, Idaho, and I'm looking out at Lake Coeur d'Alene, and across is the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And peaceful. Nature is so soothing. The water lapping up onto the shore, the birds in the sky, little children out here playing. Compared to my reality yesterday, flying up here, you know, from the Oakland airport, everybody wearing masks, everybody fearful, everybody just keeping their social distance. It's just, I don't know what's happened, but something's going on, and we're going to take a deep dive into that today. I took on an interesting subject for this morning, and it's to mask or not to mask. And it's really, I spent 5 hours preparing for this 30-minute segment this morning. I could have spent probably 50, maybe 500 hours. There's so much information on there, but there's such a divide in this country over the mask. Could you imagine? and also the anger, you know, for people that don't wear them and against people that do wear them and vice versa. It's really in this country right now. I think the power, picked this, they've picked it, Trump versus Biden. They got Trump wearing a mask. So we're going to do a deep dive today. And do masks really work? Is there really science behind them? Or are we just being manipulated, controlled, and feared? I think the real virus is fear. There's obviously a virus, and it happens every year. And it's this one is like another flu virus, cold virus. Symptoms are all over the map. COVID-19 is basically, so we have to assume that, we got to identify what COVID-19 is. Is it a cold? Is it a flu? Is it something special? Is it a bioweapon? All my research and hours of research indicate that it's pretty much a flu virus. And it has the same symptoms as the flu. Perhaps it is a little more contagious. I don't know. There's really no proof for that. I know that 48% of the deaths came out of nursing homes, and those are older people that are going to die anyways. And I don't really know anybody close to me that's gotten it, and I think I probably have an influence of 500 people that if one of those 500 were to get it, I would hear about it firsthand. So none of that. Some stories, my son got it, was diagnosed. He was sick for a couple of days, had a cold, had a sore throat, and he's back at it. So anyways, let's talk about what kind of masks there are first. First, there's the one I wear, which is a bandana. And the only good thing about this that maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But what I like about it is you get older, you lose collagen around your neck. So anyways, I'm just being facetious. And this is the one my wife wears, which is a cloth mask. And then, of course, we have the surgical masks, which are the paper, and they wrap around the ears. And then the N95 masks, which are heavy-duty masks. And if any of them work, it's those. But the CDC and the WHO recommend that we don't use those because they want them for the healthcare workers who really probably do need them, and also patients that are sick need a heavy-duty mask. So anyways, So what I did this week is I did a Facebook post. I don't know if Jessica, who's our producer in Seattle today, I don't know if she can put my Facebook post up there or not. But basically I said, does anybody have scientific proof of these masks and whether they work or not? And boy, you know, I got a lot of comments. I got, you know, here's the truth, but can you handle the truth kind of stuff? You know, I didn't say I was pro-mask or anti-mask, and I don't even know if I am after doing all this research, to be honest with you. It's very confusing. And one of my friends said, man, you're going down a deep rabbit hole. Good luck with this one. And it's such a big issue right now. And, you know, there's two rules of thought. You have the people that believe that you they're saving lives. They're protecting people. Maybe some people believe they protect themselves, which there's a lot of science says that's absolutely not correct at all. But, you know, people have a good heart. They say, man, if all I got to do is wear a mask and I can save lives, I'm going to do it. Of course. Okay. That's one group of people. Then you have another group of people say, hey, listen, this is a plandemic. This is a scamdemic. We'll get into possible reasons why they're doing this. And these, all the science that I see, all the doctors I see say these don't work. These aren't going to stop the spread of it. You know, tuberculosis, 1.5 million deaths, I think it is. Why aren't we wearing masks for that? So on and so forth. So it's interesting. We're going to get into the science in a minute. But boy, it's like a lightning rod, you know, and people are doing weird things and acting really weird around this. So one thing we have to, and I put a little CDC thing up there from Armstrong Economics. CDC is a private organization. So I just want everybody to open their mind a little bit and critical think. You know, so the CDC is a private organization. It's quasi-government. It's not entirely government. It's not run by the government. It's a quasi-organization of the government, but it's also private, and it's a nonprofit 501c3, and it operates from donations. So do you think an organization like this could be corrupted with a large donation? Say, hey, I'm going to give you $10 million. I have a nonprofit donation or foundation. And, you know, I don't have any large donors, but if I did, and, you know, all we do is give money to poor people. So, but if we had a large donor and we were a political organization or we had an agenda to push, if someone donated me $10 million, you think I'm going to pay attention to this guy? Of course. So just ask yourself, who is the CDC? Who runs it? And can they be influenced by outside people pushing another agenda? Then Jessica, the World Health Organization, I just printed the whole wiki page. But, you know, the difference between the CDC, this is American, and the World Health Organization is part of the United Nations. People don't trust the United Nations. A lot of people don't want you even in, you know, New York City. And so once again, you know, they work off of donations. So, you know, and, you know, we did a special on Bill Gates. We talked about Bill Gates and we showed him how, you know, he's highly vested in this vaccination thing and stands to make billions of dollars. He's predicted this pandemic. He's predicting another one this October and this November. He says it's not going away. We didn't get your attention last time. We're definitely going to get your attention this time. So I'm just saying, hey, these are the questions I ask myself. You know, I'm not going to just because CNN or Fox tells me to believe something. You know, we have to become critical thinkers again. We have to ask good questions because honestly, the people that believe in the mask or an agenda also believe that this country is going in the wrong direction. And that's kind of where I fall. You know, I'm doing this show. I'm spending all this time and energy to really try to help people to help all of us find the truth. I'm looking for the truth too, but I'm doing it because I really believe that if we don't wake up, this country's in big trouble and we're going to lose it. We can lose this country. And so many Americans don't believe this. So many of my friends don't believe this. You know, if you haven't been affected, I have a lot of wealthy friends that haven't been affected. You know, they go, yeah, something's weird, something's crazy, but they still go about their life and haven't been really affected yet. But it's coming. It's really coming, ladies and gentlemen, at least I believe. And we have some great guests this week, too, that will talk about the financial impact of all this. So who is the World Health Organization? Now, the other thing is, who's Johns Hopkins University? You know, they're a private organization too, and they're doing all the statistics with the CDC and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Who is Bill and Melinda Gates? I talked last week about James Corbett, the Corbett Report. He did a great documentary on who Bill Gates is. I urge you to watch that. You know, who is Bill Gates? The Corbett Report, James Corbett. He does a deep dive. It's probably over an hour long or more. Who is this guy? You know, his parents were eugenists. They believe in population control, which could be another agenda behind all this. You know, we're not killing enough people in the wars. I don't know. But I know this in Agenda 21, they don't want 7 billion people here. They want 1 billion. The Georgia Guidestones, they want 500,000. And so then I sound like a conspiracy theorist, right? Which is a term they throw out to disqualify people. No, these are published papers, ladies and gentlemen. Agenda 21, United Nations, you can read all about it. Georgia Guidestones, just Google it. It's been up for 40 years. And it says they want a population under 500 million worldwide. So there is a lot of agendas. The other thing is, we covered this last week, you know, the testing results are not accurate. You know, we have people sending in things that have never been tested, come back positive. We have people waiting in line, okay, and say, oh, I don't want to wait anymore. Go home, get a phone call, say you tested positive. They never took the test. These things are happening all over the country. So and, you know, then Trump wanted to bypass the CDC and have it go to the Health Institute of America, or whatever it's called, the government agency. And they said, you know, political hot potato, and they had to reverse that. But we got to trust these numbers. For one, I question everything, and I don't trust blindly the government, and I don't trust blindly people that have an agenda. So there you go. So the other thing is the death count accurate? Okay, I said earlier, 48% of all deaths are coming out of nursing homes, and then the other are people with comorbidities, you know, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, lung disorders, COPD, all these things. So of course, if you get a serious virus or flu virus and you're ill and you have a comorbidity, of course you're more likely to get sick, end up in the ICU, or die. And that's why it's really affecting America as well, I believe. You know, we're not a healthy country anymore. We have all this GMO food. We have all this GMO sugar. We have all this poverty. We have all these poor people. The middle class is being wiped out. So everybody's eating at McDonald's, which isn't real food. It's just processed food, manufactured food, has all kinds of bad chemicals into it. And we're obese. And so there we have it. And we're a huge population of people with diabetes. So I believe that one of the things that is to cover up the economic collapse. And this is why this is a, let's just say this was quite timely, because the economy started to collapse in September in the repo market. The banks were no longer lending money to each other because they didn't trust each other. And so every night the banks, before they go to bed, you know, they got to look at their liquidity, and there's certain guidelines that they have to be within another to meet those guidelines. Well, they quit lending to one another in September. They didn't trust one another. They didn't trust their collateral. So is this part of that cover up? I think so, but who knows? The other agenda, Jess, if you can put this on the screen, is we're seeing this play out every day, is a cashless society. I can't tell you how many places I go, sorry, we don't take money anymore. You have to pay with a card. Okay, we're not giving change. Kroger's not giving you change. So if your bill was $13.50, okay, they're rounding up to $14, and you owe them $14, and you don't get the 50 cents. They'll credit your card, I guess, your loyalty card. But they're not giving change. They're getting rid of money. They want to be a cashless society. So I say to people, and a lot of people say, oh, who cares? No big deal. Make it easier. Well, let's look at what someone wrote. I found this on Facebook. A cashless society means no cash, zero. Cashless means fully digital, fully traceable, and controllable. I think those who support a cashless society aren't fully aware of what they're asking for. A cashless society means, if you are struggling with your mortgage on a particular month, you can't do an odd job to get you through. If your teenager can't go and help out a grandparent or family friend to earn a bit of summer cash. No more cash slipped into the hands of a child for some candy from the store or from their grandmother or on their birthday. No more money in birthday cards, because there is no money. No more piggy banks for your child to collect pocket money and to learn about the value of earning. No more cash for a rainy day fund or for that something special you've been week. No more jobs because your wages barely cover the bills or put food on the table. So they're trying to get total control of our money. And once they have that, they own us. No more cash gifts from relatives or loved ones. What a cashless society does guarantee, banks have full control of every single penny you own. By the way, not many people know this, but when you deposit money into your bank, that money now belongs to the bank. You are a creditor. Okay, they go under, you're third in line. So good luck getting that money back. So that's important to know as well. Every transaction you make is recorded. All your movements and actions are traceable. And it goes on and on and on. We'll put a link of this page on our underneath the video, and you can check it out. But think about it. No more cash. It's all electronic. And we talked last week about ID 2020, where this is going to be in your bloodstream, possibly. You know, there's a patent filed by Bill Gates and Microsoft. So another possible agenda is, are we in the midst of a communist overthrow of this country? And if you look at the pandemic, along with the Black Lives Movement matter and everything that's going on now, it's, you know, I haven't been following the story much, but in Portland, I guess, is a real mess. New York City, they're having all kinds of problems. I saw a news piece the other day where some woman is Black Lives Matter. She was black, and she was putting black paint over where they did in front of Trump Tower, the Black Lives Matter, saying, you guys don't care about black lives. This is a political thing. This is a Marxist thing. This is a communist thing. This is a throw over America. So I just put a little, I don't know if Jessica has it on the screen or not, but reporting mask violators. Do not call 911. Take a picture, send the state health department, and call this number. And I think this was, I forget what, Columbus, Ohio. So they're us spying on one another. We're destroying ourselves. And who's benefiting? What are the agendas? And then here's another picture that I sent to Jessica. The ideology that killed over 100 million last century is now being praised at our universities today. And they have a picture of Mao Zedong and a bunch of dead bodies. And really, is this a Chinese communist takeover America? I don't know. Is it possible? Yes. We got to open our mind to these possibilities, because something wrong is going on here. You know? So here's an article from the New England Journal of Medicine. Perspective, universal masking in hospitals in the COVID-19 area. And it's an article. It was published April 1st, 2020. And this one, it also has a date of May 21st, but it was originally published April 1st. I think they made a mistake. As the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic continues to explode, hospital systems are scrambling to intensify their measures for protecting patients and healthcare workers from the virus. An increasing number of frontline providers are wondering whether this effort should include universal use of masks by all healthcare workers. Universal masking is already standard practice in Hong Kong, Singapore, and other parts of Asia, and has recently been adopted by a handful of U.S. hospitals. Wearing a mask at healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from infection. Public health authorities do define a significant exposure to COVID-19 as face-to-face contact within 6 feet with a patient symptomatic COVID-19 that is sustained for at least a few minutes, and some say more than 10 minutes or 30 minutes. So I have to have this conversation with you and to be exposed for over 3 minutes. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space is therefore minimal. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic. And that's what I think is going on here, that they've created this fear, and I understand it, okay? And so half the country's believing it and criticizing the other half, and the other half saying, hey, something doesn't smell right here, and I want my civil rights, I want my freedom, and there's not science to support this. Jessica, if you put up the shot of Dr. Shiva, and he does a YouTube video. It's about 45 minutes long. I must have watched 4 or 5 YouTube videos yesterday preparing for this. So his title of his video, and I encourage you, if you really want to understand this subject, is To Mask or Not to Mask. So he's a PhD. He went to MIT. He's super smart. He's running for Senate. But he says the most important thing you can do is strengthen your immune system. Take vitamin D, which is sunshine, C, which is orange juice and what have you, vitamin A, zinc, and iodine. You know, and you can get sunshine easily, veggies, meat, you can get pumpkin seeds for your zinc. So he goes on and talks about the different masks, which I already talked upon. I've already spoken about, you know, these OSHA tests where, you know, they'll say, they have a probe to create a make sure the working environment is good, and so they put it under the mask and it just goes off right away. So there is people getting headaches from wearing these masks, especially if they wear a surgical mask or an N95 mask. You know, the cloth masks really don't do much, so I don't think that's going to affect the oxygen in the body, but I don't know. He goes, there's no conclusive clinical evidence that works, the CDC. Also, he gets into the size of the virus, the size of the hole in these mechs, these masks. Gets very technical, but bottom line is ineffective in filtering. You know, the virus goes through these things. Then the other thing is cloth masks increase the risk in healthcare workers. 13 times more chance of getting sick by wearing this because they're not getting rid of what's comes out of their body and they're not getting enough good oxygen. They say of the cloth, the virus goes through 97% of the time and the medical mask 48% of the time. The N95 mask medical workers increase the chance of shortness of breath. Not good. And then he talks about you have people testing their oxygen and so on and so forth and saying, hey, I'm wearing all this stuff and the mask and my oxygen's still good. They wear the little oxygen thing on their finger. Well, it's the balance, he says. It's the balance of oxygen coming in and the balance of carbon dioxide coming out that, especially for pregnant women, this has to stay in balance or there's a big problem. So I encourage you to watch this video. It goes on and on and on. I still have many notes, but we're going to run out of time here. Now, I also posted, if you could put up this one, Jess, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, the AAPS, droplets. It talks about, it goes into great detail. It says, you know, there's some good things and there's something that aren't that good. So here's one of their statements. Known patients infected with SARS-CoV-2 wore masks and coughed into a petri dish. Both surgical and cotton masks seem to be ineffective in preventing the dissemination of SARS-CoV-2 from the coughs of patients with COVID-19 to the environment and external mask surface. So basically, it didn't work. Overall, data was collected from 714 men and women. About half the sample were women and all the adults' ages were represented. Only 90% participants, 12.6%, even wore the mask properly. So, I mean, I was looking at people on the plane last night. Most people, you know, there's all kinds of places where stuff can come out. And what I love is when you go into a restaurant, you have to wear it from the front door to your table, then you don't wear it again. I'm just common sense tells me something. This is an agenda. And you know, masks historically been used for punishment, you know, and also for slaves used to wear masks. So it just doesn't feel right to me. If someone can show me scientific proof, that's what I was looking for, that it really works, I wear this mask 24/7 if I think I'm going to not infect someone. And the other thing is, you know, in history, typically we call sick. And healthcare works working with someone with COVID-19 with these masks and protective devices, and so does the patient. So that all makes sense. But for all this to be walking around and, you know, all it's doing is reinforcing this pandemic in everybody's mind and this fear. It's just not healthy. So I did have one lady, Dr. Marissa PEI. You know, she sent me an article. Here's scientific proof. I read it. There really is no scientific proof. She sent me a link to a physician that says, you know, wear your mask and this is why. So there are, you can find both sides of the coin here. So this is the important thing to know. If you put this article up, Jessica, the Bill Gates. Bill Gates is warning that the U.S. is still very much in the thick of things. Now, this guy stands to make billions and billions from these vaccinations. You know, he's disliked in Africa and other countries where he's gone in and vaccinated people, and there's been terrible problems, terrible treatment, side effects from these vaccinations. And we talked about his one last week where he wants to, you know, put bots in our bloodstream and reward us with cryptocurrency if we do good. Okay, well, the reward only lasts a certain time. They turn the reward off. They turn everything off. You have no access to money if we go to this system. So I just find it interesting that, you know, he's warning us right now that this is coming back bigger and better. We showed a video last week of him saying, hey, we didn't quite fully get your intention last week, but we're going to get it this time. Don't worry. And him and his wife were there on camera, and they kind of gave a kind of a weird little giggle. This is from a friend of mine I know posted on Facebook to my response, you know, about these masks. He says, truth is hard to find these days. My wife is in the medical profession in a hot spot, and the consensus of the experts is that masks do not stop, just slow it. Also, the N95 crowd is ignorant of just what those masks are for. N95s are for contaminated environments. It protects the wearer, but if the wearer is positive, they are breathing out the virus with no filtering. So no protection for those around them. So basically, you know, if they're sick, it's still going through that mask. Plus, when you know that 99% of those who contacted survive, I mean, come on, this is what he's saying. It has also been shown that those who wear masks touch their face a lot more than those who don't. The constant adjusting of the mask defeats the purpose. And don't get me started about those who wear a mask with it below their nose, okay? Which we tend to do. So we don't have much time left, so I'm going to move quickly here. But what I love is the guilt is now coming. These people are masters of mind control. Please understand this, who you're dealing with here. You know, they got think tanks all over the place, and they hire the brightest minds every year, people graduating, and say, hey, and they got quantum computers, they got artificial intelligence, they know how we think because they read all our Facebook posts and our Instagram posts. And so they put it all in there and they say, okay, how come this is now? I know I sound like, but I just don't trust the government, okay? And I don't trust what's going on because I see this country going in the wrong direction, and I see an economic collapse coming very, very shortly, and I see us headed into losing our freedoms and our rights. And that's why I'm doing this. So here's an article. Newsom blames the selfish public. You got to love it. Okay. COVID cases are on the rise, allegedly. And Gavin Newsom has identified the culprit. You don't be selfish, he tweeted, as his own winery remains open for business. I read somewhere where he just bought a brand new $15,000-$20,000 home up there in Sacramento. And I'm going to close with this last article, and I don't know if you have it or not, Jessica, I might not have seen it, but Jack Nicklaus, I'm a big golfer, and he's a golfer, announces he and his wife Barbara contracted COVID-19 in March. So he said she didn't get very sick. He felt a little blah, you know, for a couple days, sore throat. I mean, this is not a fatal disease, okay? I think it's 0.2% are going to die. It's going to be like a flu virus. So just ask yourself, open your mind, critically think, use your common sense, trust yourself. And I'd love to have you on the show. If you have medical proof that these masks work, because I'd wear one. And I do wear one when we have to. They're making us. But what is the agenda? And that's what I asked. So coming up next, we're going to have on Jerry Powell. And Jerry is a great guy. He runs a organization called Rhythmia. It's a medical resort in Costa Rica. It's a fascinating story. And they're the only medically licensed facility in the world that does plant medicine. So we'll be right back with Jerry.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, folks. First of all, I'm probably not on video because I got a bad Wi-Fi connection up here in Idaho. But I'm so excited for our guest today, Jerry Powell. I had him on my last show, which was more of an interview thing, because I'm traveling. I wanted to have him back on. And I saw a post that he made in Facebook. And it started a discussion between me and him. But more importantly, I just want to know, Jerry runs Rhythmia, a resort, a health resort down in Costa Rica. It's the only medically licensed facility in the world to do plant medicine. He's just got a heart of gold. He's had a difficult life, an interesting story, but now he's down there doing so much good in the world. And if you want to know more, the interview I did with him, I think is an hour long, is archived at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. Fascinating. I think the title of that interview was Shit the Moon Told Him. And but anyways, Jerry, how are things with COVID-19 affecting you personally and affecting your business down there?
And it's killing my business.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, we're in Costa Rica. We're in Guanacaste, which is like my place is maybe 15 minutes outside of Tamarindo. And prior to COVID, we were at capacity almost all the time. Mm. And at capacity, like 90 people a week. Yeah.
Wow.
And a backlist of people wanting to come and all of that, you know, stuff. Then COVID started. They shut the country. They still have not opened the country. And not only for me, look at, you know, it's costing me $500,000, not an opportunity loss,
right?
But in actual bills to keep going. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in a fortunate position that we had, you know, a couple of good years leading into this, But man, most of these small hotel owners are, I'm telling you, they're out of business. And then unlike in the United States, the promised land, down here, when people run out of money, they actually run out of money.
Right, right.
There's no safety net. And, you know, and
there's no government safety net.
There's not. And these people are not complainers. They must look at the Americans and go, what the ever loving fuck are they thinking of? You know, because these people, you know, they, what we do is once a month we try to feed the local town of Pinia. I buy them groceries and stuff like that. That's really where things are at. So it's sad. It's really super sad.
Hey, so what's your take on this? What do you think is going on? Is it really a really terrible pandemic virus that's killing people, or is there more agendas behind it?
Well, the thing is, I think, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm an opportunity theorist, you know, and so when certain things line up, people in positions that can benefit the most kind of keep it going, right? So I believe 100% in the virus. I believe that the virus is real. Yep. I do not believe that the numbers are. I'm a math guy, you know, and from the beginning, when people were saying the death rate's going to be 10%, I was laughing because anybody with 10 fingers and 10 toes can get down to between 0.2 and maybe 0.8 of a point without trying hard, without being super smart. You can get there. Like I always said, a 17% infection rate until herd immunity, and then somewhere between 0.2 and 0.8 of a point mortality rate, and the death rate. We're really, really not. You know, this is the kind of thing. You remember when abortion started, and 20 years later, the book Truth Freakonomics came out, and they started linking things to that event.
Right.
Well, you know, this, it's going to take years to untangle, you know, the coding of deaths to really get to what the truth. So whatever the adjusted death rate is in your mind, if you're smart, you got to knock it down by a third, because there really are people getting hit by buses that are getting coded COVID.
Exactly. Well, what's interesting, on March 25th, Fauci wrote with three other doctors, I think in the one of the medical journals, that it's a flu virus and it's going to have a death rate of 0.2 to 0.4%. And he said that in March. So everything else is just adding to the fear, as I see it up here in America. I don't know if everybody's running around with masks scared to death down there. I know in Medellin, you know, where I also live, that's the way it is. I think South America, for some reason, and you touched on it, those people don't complain. And I think they're easier to control, right?
They're not complainers. And they're super, you know, Mike, with you lived in Colombia and traveled all over Central America. You know, what a nice, sweet bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I listen to this. It just goes to show you, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. I swear to God.
Yep.
It is the absolute truth. Yeah.
It's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, we're similar in age. And I don't know about you, but probably, you know, when I was growing up, children were to be seen and not heard was, you know,
absolutely.
Right.
Golden rule. Yeah.
But you know what? You want to know something, though? I think that's not too bad because it made me tough. Okay. And it made me, I realized, hey, there is no savior. Mommy, you know, about 10, I realized, hey, mommy and daddy ain't going to be there. Okay. And I better get prepared. Right.
Yeah.
But I think for me, when I raised my kids, and society too, we gave them everything, you know, and they couldn't fail.
No,
they got to try no matter what. So now they're snowflakes or cupflakes or whatever you call them. What do you think?
I just feel so like, you know, the way nature engineered this thing, you know, like nature makes very few mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So there's survival of the fittest. There's what happens to the weak. Either they learn and get smart or they get eaten. Like there's a particular, and that's love in its own way. It's a strange, it's a very strange thing. But when you have human intervention that you want to control the outcome of natural events, just like the outcome of this, my own opinion on this thing, and this is just my opinion, is that it should have been let to run. And just like a bank failure should be left to fail.
Yeah.
Like, it's just simple stuff. This was ingrained in me from when I was a kid. That and the biggest gift that they got was never saving me. Coming to my rescue, and the thing is, you know, I was a helicopter father. Like, I was always over my kids,
always
telling them that they're perfect. Always, you know, that, you know, the shit that they started telling us to do in the 80s, right? To kids, you know, you know what I mean? Right. This is what we were told to do. Like, the new parenting of the 90s was everybody gets a trophy and
you're the greatest. You can't do no wrong. Life is easy. Don't worry. We'll take care of you.
Well, everything is going to be okay. And you know what, dude, I got lucky with my kids that I did. And I forced them to work and pay their own bills early.
Yeah.
That one thing I got lucky with, and I think it made up for all of the over kindnesses. And when I say over kindness, I mean what I classify as not goodness, but politeness, right? Yeah. So, you stubbed your toe. Here's a little thing.
Now
you get an extra cookie because you cried. Like, what the fuck is that even about? Right. It's crazy shit, you know? And now we got a whole country of them.
Oh, no, the snowflakes or cupcakes, whatever they are. My internet is a little screwed up. How about now? Can you hear me now?
I hear you. And I want to say something, though, because I don't want someone to play that one day out of context.
Yeah.
Now, I believe in social programs that work. I believe in welfare programs that work.
Yep.
I believe in all of anything spent responsibly with an outcome that's provable. And I believe all people get in trouble. And when they do, the government should give them a hand up.
Yep.
This is what this is fucking consciousness. This is
or even better. And I think you tend to lean this way. We should help one another. Screw the government. Why, if you're in trouble, why don't I help you?
I agree. And the thing is that's really a concept that's hard to get. The problem,
but I think that's the best concept, the original concept, and somehow these governments got involved and are controlling us. You know, but if we would help one another, it's much easier.
It is, but I also believe, you know, I'm 1/10 socialist too. I believe in. There should be a way to get health care to all people, in my opinion.
For sure. I agree 100%.
You know, and there should be a hand up for when people fall. My own belief is it's a spending issue, not an earning issue. It's not by raising taxes. It's by properly spending money. You have a, well, do you want to hear that now or not?
Let me add that, because you hit it the nail on the head, but it's also a corruption issue now.
Absolutely.
Okay. The money is being stolen. Okay.
I agree.
And there's evidence everywhere. And I forget how many years ago, but you know, one of these banks did something wrong and the DOJ said they're too big to prosecute.
Well, I know.
That was take the gloves off, do whatever you want. Now we're not going to jail. We're going to get a little slap on the wrist.
Let me ask you this.
In Costa Rica, is there a lot of cases of COVID? Is there a lot of deaths? Is there a lot of illness? Is it just spotty?
No, it's spotty, and they did a real good job. I think they're at this morning, I think they are 50 some deaths. Let me just see. Yeah. I just really want to see.
Pretty small.
I don't even follow it because it's not.
It's not relevant.
Well, it's not to me.
Yeah.
You know, so in Costa Rica, let's see. This is from 19 hours ago. I think they're. Their deaths have been 11,000 cases and fucking almost, you know, almost no deaths. Like, it was just insignificant.
And God knows and what they died from, too. You know,
that's the truth, too. But here's the difference with this one. A little bit, because Costa Rica does not have the hospital beds that we have in the States, you know, so it could get in. This is a country that actually could get into trouble pretty quickly, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think Colombia is taking the same approach. I mean, but what they're doing to the economy and what they're doing, you know, this social distancing, we're social animals. We need to be sitting face to face, right? And now everything is stay at home, Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. We're, we don't, we, that's not good for our mental and emotional health. You know that.
I do know. And the thing is, you see, when people talk about the good guys wear masks and bad guys don't, and da 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 da, and they should shut the whole country down, they have no idea at all about unintended consequences.
Yep.
And we have a little taste of it. Those people who are relatively intelligent can sit down and say, well, I can see a couple things are going to happen. Depression is going to go up. Domestic abuse is going to go up. Violence is going to go up. When you take someone's livelihood away and ruin their life, they're going to have mental issues going forward. Divorce rates are going to go up. When you start talking about all of the unintended consequences, I believe suicides alone might make up the COVID deaths. So I don't think a very awake actuary would sit down and run these numbers and say that it's healthier, kinder, or safer to shut down an economy. I don't. I think after the math was in, they would say that, and I believe this will be proven over the next 24 to 48 months. And I also believe other things, but I believe it will be proven because the data in a data age gets out. So it will get out. People will know 2-3 years from now, they really screwed up. This was a bad call.
By then, all the harm is done. Lives are ruined. People are committed suicide. They're done. People have starved to death. So that's why I'm starting to show up again. I really think we need to wake up and ask good questions of our government and where they're taking us.
I do too. And the thing is, why?
Exactly.
Because, you know, don't tell me that Trump's people are not smart. Don't tell me that the Democrats aren't smart. You know, they have an unlimited budget. They're talking to the most intelligent people on the planet.
Yeah.
And those people would have to be saying, hey, when you roll out this math, when you extrapolate this math, that it's going to do worse than if we let this thing go. Yeah. What it's going to do, it's going to prolong it. And it is going to prolong. What you're doing now is prolonging the agony, just like a bank bailout.
Yep.
You know what happened in 2008? We didn't pay for that yet.
Well, no, that's what's coming. That's what's coming.
That is, you know, when you're doing this, you can deal in decades of delayed issues, right?
Right.
But I know, Mike, I know that in my lifetime, in your lifetime, if we're lucky enough to live another 20, 30, we're going to see the greatest market correction in the world in a devaluation of the U.S. dollar, I believe.
Or perhaps the elimination as a global currency, the U.S. dollar.
Could be. Yeah. That absolutely could be.
I mean, you're a very successful businessman. You understand all this. I mean, how do you sustain this? We're up to $27 trillion right now, admitted debt, plus the missing money, plus the underfunded liabilities. Where does it stop?
But here's the thing. So now this is where there's the disconnect.
Yeah.
How can a society that holds its citizens to the repayment of loans?
Yeah.
Not like it doesn't. This is the disconnect. So listen to this. You can borrow money. You're a country. You can borrow the money without any fucking chance of paying it back. You can recklessly lend. You can do whatever you want to do. But you expect me to borrow properly, to lend properly, to pay my bills, to live by a credit score, to da 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 da, and you don't have to. Well, that doesn't work, Mike. You can't say to someone, your debt to income ratio should be 20%, but my debt to income ratio can be 8,000%. It doesn't work. And eventually,
exactly.
Look at when interest rates are going to fall in the near term. I believe that, but when they start popping, and they have to, because there has to be an inflation after this thing at some point.
Right.
And when we can't pay our own debt, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be very interesting. It's either a war or, you know, we already sold the shop.
It's going to be ugly.
It is going to be ugly. And you're lucky, Mike, to live in Colombia. In my opinion, Colombia is much more responsible as a country.
Well, you know, I know you're suffering down there because no business, but at least you have that beautiful resort to walk around. At least you have those many acres of freedom, right? That's why I want to get back there. I want that freedom.
I want, like, it's okay to be able to walk around and not be arrested and all that. That's great, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. The people that are rioting, and there has been a huge disconnect in government.
Yep.
Like when we were young, Mike, the rich people and the poor people, it wasn't that far apart.
Exactly.
It's turned into something now where, and I don't know the answer. I don't like anything that gets in the way of any free market stuff. I don't. But
right.
Something happened here since the 80s that the disparity between the classes has gotten so huge. I don't blame the people for being pissed off. I do blame them for, and if you can even take this all the way back to welfare and incentivizing fatherless children and all that stuff,
yep.
That was still us that did it.
Exactly.
Like you can't fucking, you know, push the Indians into a corner and then 40 years later get mad when they revolt. You can't do it. You gotta, you know, everything has to come down to what's truth, right?
Exactly. And I really think that this debate should happen after 9/11. I don't think we asked enough good questions of what really happened there and why we created all those wars. And so now we were busy partying, we were busy shopping, we were busy golfing, we were busy doing this, okay? And the government has steered us in the wrong direction. We spend $700-800 billion a year on military, and all we do is drop bombs on innocent women and children all over the world. It's insane.
It's insanity. It's insanity. That to me, like, thank God that I was brought up, you know, I missed Vietnam by a couple of years, you know,
me too.
And thank God I had a blessed life, but all of these mothers that their kids are getting killed over the world, like you talk about a terrible existence, you know, losing a child to war is crazy. So like what I believe too, Mike, is this, here's the truth. If you want to know my darkest thing, that the setup for the Roaring Twenties was the Spanish flu. It's a fact. So you pent these people up and you pent them up and you pent them up and you pent them up and then you let them roll. And what did they do? They spent like there was no tomorrow, right? Just the way. I believe we're going to see, I think that this market correction that we're talking about is still 10 years away, because I believe once whatever happens in the elections happens, and then after that, whatever happens to the virus naturally, when it gets to herd immunity, I really believe it's going to disappear. When that occurs, and it'd be like opening the gates for the horse races at Aqueduct, it's like they're off. They're going to spend money that's going to prop up the economies and the markets, but that has an end, just like it ended in the 20s.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking the exact same analogy, that this is before, you know, the 2000s up till this point was the Roaring Twenties, and now we're going to have that depression, and then we're going to have a war. And that's their trick. Those are their tools in their trick bag.
That is the trick. That is the trick. And the war saves everything. But I actually think after this COVID, that there's going to be a bunch of expansion and spending again. And then all of the things that were in natural, all the way back from the Patriot Act forward to the bank bailout, that was the real death knell. That was, we had as a country, as an economy, we could have cleaned our shelves just like a healthy plant does or a healthy fox does. It rids itself of its ticks, right?
Yep.
Well, that could have saved everyone. That could have saved everyone. And what happened is the way we went the other way.
Let me ask you this, because we don't have a lot of time. So how do you have a reopen date down there?
I wish I did. Yep. We're waiting for the government to make announcements right now, Mike, and see when. But I would pray that it's before November. And what I think on this viral thing, I think it's gonna go strong. Like Bahamas just reclosed its borders. Yeah, Bahamas,
exactly.
Did, you know,
that's my concern. Is they're gonna? And Bill Gates is saying this all over the place. You know, it's coming back. I didn't fully get your attention this time. We're gonna get your attention next time. I think they're gonna put us back in our houses for September, and then the election's the other interesting thing. How is How is that? Is some of this political? Right? We're keeping Biden in the basement where he can't make all these gaffes. We got Trump. I mean, this is insane.
And if I were betting, I would bet that coronavirus mysteriously disappears in the end of November, December, January.
Yeah.
Disappears. If I were betting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But what about the economic destruction? And how about all the loss of these businesses, especially small businesses?
Well, yeah, all this did was favor Amazon, right?
So exactly.
Like, Amazon, and not only that, but it favored big business, and the hurt has been put, but those surviving businesses, I believe, are going to roar. Well, I think they're going to come roaring back.
But what's interesting to me, I mean, you know, it, you and me, guys like us, you know, the old George Carlin thing is a big club. We ain't in it. But man, they're affecting billionaires. You know, they're affecting athletes. Okay. Like a Tom Brady. I mean, what do you think is going through his mind? He's down there. He's got a new team and, you know, he's trying to win a Super Bowl. What's his life like now?
I'm with you. It's affecting this one really is a great leveler. And you know what the thing is? The people have to get honest. Governments have to get honest. We can't pretend things are not the way they are. Yep. We have to tell the truth about who's killing who, how they're killing, why they're killing, why there's such an income disparity. Is it an educational system? Is it the fatherless children? What is creating this rift and how do we correct it? But until we can agree on the conditions precedent, in other words, if you're far left and you're just fucking lying and you're far right, and you're making it up. Fucking who? How do the people get to whatever the truth is? Because the only way we can fix it is if we get and agree on the truth.
Yep.
That's the only way.
You just nailed exactly why I started this radio show again. Because I have friends that I love that hate Trump. I have friends that I love that love Trump. I have friends that I love that think this is BS, this thing. I have friends that love that are scared to death of it. But we the people got to come together and quit being divided and conquered.
We gotta. So how do you do that? Yeah. And the thing is, here's what they've managed.
Conversation.
But here's what they've managed to do. They've managed to put so much fear that nobody can tell the truth because they're going to be called either a leftist, a racist, a cop killer, a racist. And then the hate that comes out of it, the hate. That's generated. If you can't sit down and say, "Hey, look at, these are some of the problems. We're killing each other in these ways. There's a financial disconnect where the classes are being separated hugely, and taxes are part of that problem. Education is part of that problem. Fatherless children is a part of that problem. Yep. There's all of these things. So let's tell the truth about them."
Yeah.
And let's really tell the truth, even if it hurts someone's feelings.
Yeah,
so political correctness is only kind, or it's no longer kind when it trumps the truth.
Yeah.
It can't trump the truth. So you have to be whatever that truth is. And I have to tell you, a 100% liberal agenda doesn't fix it. And a 100% Republican agenda does not fix it. Yeah. It's a piece from this and a piece from that, and it's getting to the truth. And both parties would be terribly pissed off if real solutions happened.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Because if there's real solutions, we don't need the damn government anymore.
Correct. If there's real solutions, we don't need the government. We probably don't need an FDA the size of the FDA.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that are not needed, right?
Okay. Hey, listen, we only got a minute. Tell us a little bit about Rythmia, because you are going to reopen someday, and why people should go there.
I'm in a life advancement center based on plant medicine, metaphysical teachings. We are the number one customer rated TripAdvisor resort in the world of any type, with over, I think, 1,300 reviews. This is a life-changing place, and the medicine that we serve is life-changing. We'd love to see and love to have you here.
And I will just say, before you started this, he's very successful. He had a bunch of medical clinics, very successful guy, and just found this passion of something that works to help people, sold everything in the States, went down there, invested a lot of money, struggled in the beginning, built a huge successful business, and hopefully, you know, we get this COVID behind us and he can reopen. And you can really, I've been there twice, you can transform your life with what the staff he's got there, the people, and what he said too, the medicine and the way they deliver it is so powerful. And so I really encourage you. My sister is actually supposed to be there, and now she's on hold to know you reopen again. But when she comes down there, I want to come with her and spend some time with you. I love chatting with you, Jerry.
And I love chatting with you, Mike. You're one of my heroes, dude. And I know how heartbroken you are at stuff that happened to your business. And I, my prayers are with you. I hope that you reopen your car dealership and that your staff is happy and healthy and you continue to contribute to those communities like you always have. And you can turn the other cheek and brush yourself off, you know?
All right.
We love you, Mike Murphy.
I love you too, man. And I hope we can travel soon and come back down there.
Love to see you.
All right. See you, Jerry. Thank you so much, buddy.
No worries.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.